Good morning. Today is Monday, August the 3rd. What happened? 215th day of the new year. Joining us this morning is Eureka Police Chief Andy Mills. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, you've been kind of halfway busy, huh?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Self-made stuff, mostly.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure you're out there cruising for things to do, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, let's find our quote this morning to get things going. Here we go. Margaret Halsey, 1952, quote, "Being in the middle class is a feeling as well as an income level."
Hmm.
I wonder if you could project that down into some of the folks that you do business with on a more regular basis.
Well, how do you feel today?
Well, I'm thinking picked on is more of a as much of a mindset as a reality. We had this situation, was it Memphis?
Yes.
Familiar with it?
Well, it depends which situation you're talking about.
Cop shooting.
Yes. Cop that got shot, yeah.
Yeah. Are you guys experiencing, that just kind of symptomatic of the last 6 or 8 months and race baiting and all that kind of stuff. Are you guys having to do things different? Are you dealing with different situations because of these incidences? And I suppose they were happening all the time anyway, but that have now become kind of the topic du jour?
Well, I think it certainly has created a morale problem throughout the nation for law enforcement because of the scrutiny and introspection that has come with some of these police shootings. I think particularly the one in South Carolina and Cincinnati are clear-cut cases.
Yeah, that's just a stupid wearing a badge, right?
That's stupid wearing a badge. And I might add, a lack of internal control and policy by the police departments. So I think because of those, many in policing are being pretty thoughtful about, okay, how do we calm this down? How do we slow the pace of officer-involved shootings? And I read an interesting article over the weekend that showed the difference between the UK and the United States in the amount of police shootings. They had 10 in multiple years. We had, I think, 459 so far this year nationwide.
Is that a normal 459?
I think it's up a little bit, but you know, within percentage points. But I think the difference is, look at the difference in societies. We have no weapons where they wind up shooting, very few weapons where they wind up shooting each other in the UK, where here we lose thousands of people a year to handgun violence. The other thing that's really gripping our country that we have to come to terms with is the mental health issues. For those who family members who have significant mental health problems, it's horribly frustrating. It's difficult to work with those family members. But at the same time, when you call the police because it's beyond your control, we have to deal with it. And there is no, I can't just walk away and say, sorry, I don't care. We do care. And then the third triangle there that we have to come to grips with as a country is, if you get so blown out of your mind on narcotics, on drugs, that you have lost touch with reality and you arm yourself, your chances of getting hurt go way up, whether it's by the police or by somebody else. And so those are issues we have to come to grips with.
It's 8:19.
Never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Andy Mills. Andy, some of these things, these events that are playing out nationally, what I was hearing, or what I was processing when I was hearing, like this, some of these goofballs, is how do they pass the background checks? All I've ever heard, whether it's from the fire badges or the police badges, extensive background checks, extensive. Okay. Is that something that's a California? I had never thought. Is that a California thing and these other states don't have those same standards? Is it easy to beat if you're a goofball? I mean, it seems like there's enough of these that are people who shouldn't have a permit, let alone have a badge and the ability to carry a gun, are getting through the net.
Well, our background investigations begin with the application process, and we do a extensive personal history statement. So we run criminal histories. We do law letters to all their communities where they grew up. So if you grew up in, like as a military kid, in Dallas and in Miami and New York and so on, San Diego, what you do is you send letters to each of those jurisdictions, and you ask anything at all in your database on this person.
Social Security number.
Social Security number, name, driver's license number, etc. So that you can say, okay, we want to make sure, because not everybody enters stuff into the NCIC system, the National Computer Information Network. So you get those back, and then you go and talk to the references. Well, what are the first tier of references going to tell you? I'm not going to give you somebody that doesn't like me.
Right.
So they're going to say, oh, the greatest guy ever.
Start with number 10 and work your way up.
Well, what you do is then you ask those three or four references, give us three or four more. And then you might start getting to that level. And then also the history employment. We fly people and everybody we investigate to who wants to come here. We have them go to their hometown. We have them knock on doors around their neighborhood.
Oh, somebody from EPD goes?
Somebody from EPD goes. We don't want to make a colossal mistake of hiring somebody that we never should have hired. Most police agencies do it this way.
So you're talking to the teachers.
We're talking to
the Sunday school and
yeah, all
that
we're talking
kind of stuff.
To employers. We're talking to previous girlfriends. Is this guy an abuser, or is this woman an abuser? And then you go from there after the personal history investigation is done, and I have a top secret clearance. This is more rigorous than a top secret clearance. And then after that's done.
Which is frightening also.
Which is frightening in itself, because the Chinese now have all of that data.
Right, yeah.
But then you go to the polygraph. And based on the personal history statement, we specifically target questions that we're very concerned about. So, for instance, person says, yes, I used marijuana a few times. Well, we're going to hone in on that. Well, how often did you use marijuana? Because what we're looking for is deception in the entire personal history statement. So if a person says, I only used it a few times, and we're going to trust this person to testify against other people, I want to know that they're honest. So what we'll look for is how many times did you use marijuana? Was it a weekly basis, a daily basis? So a lot of people will come in and say, well, I used marijuana, just a half dozen times when I was in high school. Okay. Then later you ask them, well, how many times a week did you smoke? Just three or four. Okay, idiot. 3 times 52 equals 150. That's more than what you told us. And then we'll confront them with that and see what comes up. After that comes a psych interview. They take an MMPI test. A certified shrink goes over that, looks for the commonalities with deviant behavior or people who have serious mental illness. It's far beyond my capabilities. And then the last one is the physical and the medical screening by a certified doctor. After all of that process, and that can take anywhere from 2 months to 6 months, we then put them through the field training program, which is 4.5 months, where they come and ride with senior officers every day. They're evaluated on how they're doing and where they need to improve and how we can train them to improve. So it's a fairly rigorous process. I think the issue, though, is, and I just gave a book to all of our new people that we hire, as well as I made all the people testing for sergeant and captain read it, called Emotional Survival for Law Enforcement. Because I think what happens is guys get into the profession, and women, and you begin to change. You begin to see things differently. And if you're susceptible in those areas already, that you may not pick up on a MMPI test. then you begin to change, and I think that's where you get problems.
Change not, well, obviously based on experience, but outside the norm range?
Yeah, based on what you see, some people process it better than others, and some people really deal with it tough. And I can give you examples. We have young parents. A lot of our guys are in their 20s and 30s beginning to have children and so forth. And so when you go to a baby that's deceased, a SIDS or a parent rollover and smothered a baby, that's hard on those officers. And that's just a battle wound you don't forget. And so then you start dealing with those kind of issues and you become what many term as a off-duty couch potato. You come home, you sit, you turn on the clicker and drown out everybody around you, including your mate. That's one of the reasons we have a high level of divorce and substance abuse and policing.
Because that's how they'll try to
cope. That's how they try to cope with it, because then you become all focused on policing. That becomes the center of your world rather than your family is the center of your world, and policing is how you provide for the living. Then on top of it, a lot of people develop that syndrome where you are very much focused on yourself.
It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Eureka Police Chief Andy Mills. So, Andy, with this background work that you guys go through that is typical of most law enforcement agencies, is this just a numbers game and there's going to be a percentage that get through just because it's not an absolute?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting how many people get caught in their background investigations, doing things that disqualify them. So, of course, the question I would have is, why would you apply in the first place if you know this is one of the criteria? I mean, it's amazing what we'll find in these background investigations because we're digging. And, I could go on all day with stories, but probably not on the air with those stories.
But folks just kind of don't. They don't think about it, or they don't think that the background is going to be in that depth?
They don't think it's going to be in that depth, and I think there's some that think they won't get caught. And for instance, we had one guy, when's the last time you smoked marijuana? Dead silence. How long ago? Out in the parking lot, I needed to cool myself down before I came in. And, okay, you're disqualified. You can't. You can't be a drug user and work in a police department where we're seizing drugs. So there's things like that on a regular basis. So I think what happens sometimes is we make mistakes and sometimes people get through.
Well, once someone is part of the force, except during those periods when they're looking for promotion, is there any ongoing? I mean, will every 6 months, every year or so, will you bring in friendly neighborhood therapist and just have them sit down and just kind of talk to see if there's anything, is there a personality change? Is there something going on? Circumstances certainly have changed.
No, and I don't know of anywhere in policing that does that, but that's actually not a bad thought. We do some levels of training, called the bulletproof mind, emotional intelligence or for law enforcement, those kind of things. But there really isn't a structured environment where we're having them come in and sit down with a therapist to say, how is this person doing?
Yeah, might a half be, hour session kind
yeah,
of thing.
Might be something worth looking at. And I certainly know that there are therapists that would probably be willing to do that.
Yeah. We know a couple too.
Yeah. They probably ought to start with me.
Yeah. Well, you know, top down, baby.
Yeah.
I would think that that's something that it's interesting in a high stressful situation like that. You know, somebody does a tour in the military. They go through a lot of that kind of stuff. But it's not a 20-year tour.
No.
It's not a 10-year tour. You know, 12 months, and they come back and they're looked at. What are the signs? I mean, I would think that some of the gray hairs in the department probably have got enough experience. Yeah, it's something, and just a little intuitive change in something or another. Is that what you rely on? Is that what these other departments that are having some of these goofy situations, is that what they're relying on?
Well, we have a couple mechanisms in place that we can use. One is we do have a fit-for-duty counseling. So if we're suspecting that, if we suspect someone is having difficulties, I can order them to go to a counselor to get some help. We also have a chaplaincy program. And Andy Van Brose regularly talks to our officers and works with them, and you know they're able to go to him for counseling.
So you do have some if the officer is doing the outreach,
or else we can say, hey, you need to get some counseling. But I think the symptomology that we're looking for, most cops go through this cycle. At first, you're brand new; you have no idea what direction north and south is. I remember the first day, in a patrol car by myself, after my FTO program, I sat at the car. I thought, what the heck do I do now? Turn it out. Okay, start with the ignition. But then you start learning, then you start kind of get that little bit of John Wayne syndrome, and then it goes to the department. Nobody else can do anything right except me. And then you kind of realize that there's a lot of different shades of gray. And then you start maturing in your career. And it takes about 10, 11, 12, 13 years. Some never get there. So
exactly how many shades of gray are there?
Yeah, there's a lot of shades, more than 50, I'll tell you that. I knew where that was coming.
Yeah, well, what the heck, yeah. I gave you a chance.
Yeah, and then, but what we're looking for is people who become recluse, people start abusing sick leave or time off, people who are angry and get multiple complaints. So if a person's getting multiple citizens' complaints, we start looking at those complaints pretty hard and trying to figure out, why is this person acting out? And it's normally not the big use of force stuff. It's normally just how we treat people. And what we're doing now is we are taking each of these complaints very seriously. We thoroughly investigate them. Some of these complaints I read in the past when I came here were a page, 2 pages long. Because that's the kind of investigation that was done on some of them, not all of them. Our complaints are probably averaging 15 to 20 pages. I mean, we're interviewing everybody. We're taping those interviews. We're dissecting this because I want to really know, is somebody struggling? More so for the officer, because if you're struggling, we want to save you. Retention is huge for us, because if we keep losing people, it costs us a lot of money to background and train people. Yeah, no kidding. We're trying to retain people, and that's difficult in this environment because budget issues, we just laid people off. That causes uncertainty in the organization.
KINS, News and Information Times, 842. We'll be back with more from Andy Mills.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning. morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 847. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Andy Mills. Andy, you've had a month with the new budget and the cutbacks and the impacts. Are you starting to see, sense, feel change?
Well, there's a little frustration, I think, on the part of our department because we cut, people we love, and the people have been part of the organization for 20 years. And their jobs went away. But the private sector does that as well. And so you got to have a stable budget. You got to have a sustainable budget, and that's what we went after. And so I think we're there now. Now there's a little bit of adjustment trying to figure out how do we get the workload stabilized for the officers, because the officers are just getting hammered with the extra duties.
More cases, or they just have to work through longer per case?
No, they have to pick up more reports. They have to pick up more other types of calls that we normally wouldn't have. But we've cut back. We've dialed back in a few areas, and we're trying to figure out how to dial back in a few more. But like, for instance, if you get into a crash with somebody and there's no injuries, we don't take those anymore. It's an insurance form. We shouldn't have been taking them to begin with. I mean, most police departments haven't taken those in decades, and we're still taking them. So now we're telling people on the phone, just exchange information, and that's why you have no-fault insurance, and take care of it that way. There are some other examples that I could point out, but the bottom line is we're trying to stabilize the workload and get to the high-priority stuff, the violent stuff, and some of the other stuff may just have to wait a little bit.
Now, we've moved past Reggae, and we're into the harvest season, the traditional harvest season. Are you seeing new players in the neighborhood?
Well, I tell you what, we were driving through town the other day, and it certainly seemed like it. There's a lot of people, and it's amazing. You and I were talking off air about a guy from Georgia getting assaulted. It certainly seems like there's a bunch of new players in town.
And are they in the same places? I know you've been pushing hard on a couple locations trying to get things cleaned up, squared up. Are they just backfilling?
Don't know that yet. We don't have. It's too early to do an assessment. We're going to need to go back through and count. We counted 113 last month living in the marsh area behind the mall. It's still pretty heavily populated back there. Many people believe they're seeing displacement. We'll have to figure out whether it truly is displacement or additional people coming to town. We're not trying to displace people. What we're focusing on are the violent and the people who are stealing a lot. I went out and talked to the homeless group and told them the best thing you can do is prevent people from running into the marsh and living here who are stealing and being violent. Because the more violent there is, the more we're going to be here.
And unless you really, really, really like me,
yeah,
that's probably not a positive.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming by.
You bet.
We've been talking shop with Andy Mills. Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you then.